Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Hey, wow, what a huge honor to be here with you, carving out this time and space, these minutes, and just incredible to watch from a huge distance all the way in Southern California how Nations Church is navigating through this unprecedented time. And I believe that the growth, the ground that's being taken, I'm telling you, all of the vision that's being pushed to the finish line as we speak, and even things that are being birthed, I believe it's a reflection of quality leadership. And I just want to give honor to Pastor Ken, Pastor Chrissy, the whole Nations Church team, all of you guys, every campus. You guys are phenomenal. You're literally once in a generation leaders as we stand in these moments that very few have navigated through, if any, and here you are still pioneering, believing for power in the presence of God, and it's a huge honor. Now, I recognize I got a lot of new friends watching me, and be honest with you, Pastor Ken and I have never even met face-to-face, talked on FaceTime, done Zoom, the whole thing, but never face-to-face. So let me tell you my story so you know where this Mexican, this Hispanic is coming from, all right? I grew up on the border of the United States and Mexico, and you've probably heard of my city, but for all the wrong reasons, right? Nobody vacations in my city. You go to my city for one of two reasons, either to visit your family or to do something illegal, all right? That's the only reason you're in my city. So you've probably heard about where all the cartel wars, all the drug trafficking, even some of the human trafficking. Okay, those are all my cousins. All right, so Christmas is fun with my family, or the police and the FBI are involved. There's never an in-between, all right? So, but growing up in that environment, you can imagine at the age of 12, I found myself with a drug addiction, a lust problem, and an anger issue, but I love to play basketball. Come on, anybody love to hoop in here? And so I remember I would go to this church that had a gym, and the youth pastor got involved in my life, and one day he invited me and said, hey, do you want to go to church camp? Well, I had no idea what that was. He said, hey, do you want to go to church camp? And I said, there are going to be hot girls at this camp. He said, well, we're going to go for Jesus. I said, fine, you can go for Jesus. I'm going to get some phone numbers. Hey, I'm going to camp. What I didn't realize is on the first night of that camp, I got saved, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I got called into ministry all in one night. It was a game-changing night. From that point forward, the journey led me to Bible college. Then I went into business as internet sales director for every luxury car company except Lamborghini. I was a missionary in Sri Lanka after that, then took over a youth ministry in Texas in the U.S. and watched this sweeping revival come through, students just being engaged, literally risk-takers being raised and released. And then for the last 11 years of my life, I've spent raising and releasing the next wave of influencers that are going to touch nations, disciple nations, transform nations, and every sphere of society. And in my opinion, I get to lead the best Bible college on the planet, Missions Me College, again, right here in Southern California. Now, there's no way I could ever do any of this by myself. I've been married for 16 years. We have four beautiful kids, and I can't think of a better time to spend than with you right here. Come on, Nations Church, are you excited? I don't know if you're watching live in a church, or you're watching in your living room, or you're watching in your bedroom, if you're watching on your tablet, if you're watching on your phone, but I don't do quiet church, all right? I need you to talk back to me. I need you to respond to the word. How many know the word deserves a response? I don't do quiet church because I believe a quiet church is a dead church, all right? I believe the word of God deserves a response because it should have home field advantage at the church. Come on, we love playing on a home field because we have the most crowd support. Well, let's give the word the most crowd support today, all right? Talk back to me, fire up the chat, let us know through the emojis or through your words, God is speaking to you, all right? Are you ready for the word? Somebody type yet? Somebody say, oh, yes. Are you ready for the word? Yes, absolutely. All right. I want you to turn on your Bible. And that's right, turn it on. I know what generation we're talking to. If you open it, that's fine. If you turn it on, that's fine. But I want you to go to 1 Samuel 15. I feel there's a real prophetic edge on this message for your house. I believe it's for your marriage. I believe it's for your children. I believe it's for your business, for your career. I believe it's for your destiny. I believe that there are things that are being set in motion as we speak, that God, being the omnipresent, omniscient, being all-knowing, everything He was, He is not caught off guard. But there are things in motion that God is moving forward in your life. And I want to speak to a key element that's going to bring things from ideas to reality. And so I want to raise up and I want to speak into the finisher of who you are. I was asked a very frankly, a blunt question. They said, what does God want most from this generation right now? And they weren't just talking about young people. They were talking about the generation on the planet. What does God want most? And what stirred in my spirit the first time, at the first moment I heard the question, I said, God wants a generation that knows how to finish. He doesn't need people who know how to start. He needs people who know how to finish. Now, let me tell you a story, okay? I'm gonna tell you, this is BC and BE, okay? This is before Christ and before Erica, my wife, all right? Before you start judging me, I'm just letting you know, but I believe there's a great biblical principle in this story, all right? I asked my friend Leslie if she would come with me to what we call homecoming. I'm not sure if you have that in Australia or other campuses in other nations, but for formal nights and stuff like that. And so I said, hey, why don't we go together? And this is where I started learning something pretty interesting about you ladies, that there is a difference between the way men get ready and the way women get ready. All right. And I've just learned this. I've been married a long time. I've got two beautiful girls. Trust me, I have learned there is a difference between the way males get ready and females get ready. And I've learned, ladies, when you get ready for something like a formal night, you don't just put on any dress. You have to go get a new dress and you have to search. I mean, everywhere. It takes 3 months of prayer, fasting, and being spirit led just to find a dress. And then when you find a dress, my goodness, you can't just have the dress. You got to get the right shoes. Come on, help me out, ladies. Talk to me. Right. And not only that, then once you get the shoes, you got to get the right purse. Then you got to go and get the right jewelry. You got to get the right earrings, the right necklace. You got to get the right nail polish. You got to get the right blush and makeup and all. You got to get the right hairdo. I mean, this is a vicious cycle women live in called getting ready. Guys are a lot different. We just put on what doesn't smell bad and isn't wrinkled. We are good to go. Good to go. Come on, ladies, that don't make us nasty. That makes us efficient. Hey, all right. So I remember I tell Leslie, I'm going to pick you up at 7:30, all right? Dance starts at 7, we're going to be fashionably late. I'm going to pick you up at 7:30. She said, okay. Well, I don't know how it works, all right, in Australia, in Ireland, in Cambodia. I don't know how it works with you guys, but at least where I grew up, you didn't go straight to the dance first. You went to a couple parties first, and then you went to dance. Remember, BC, BE, all right? And so I remember I go to a couple parties. Guys, I'm embarrassed to admit it, but it happened. I got so drunk and high that 7 came, 7:30 came, 8, 8:30, 9, 9:30, 10 o'clock. I'm a drunk mess, and I remember, Lily. So I called Leslie on the phone, and I said, hey, Lily, listen, I'm not going to be able to pick you up and take you to dance, but I could send someone come bring you to a couple parties. And she said, no, thanks. I'm going to bed. Bye. And she hung up the phone on me. I totally stood up my date for this formal homecoming dance. Now, before you start casting stones, let me bring this into our world for a second. I may not have finished the job with Leslie, which, by the way, we are friends to this day. She's married a youth pastor, my old youth pastor, so just letting you know, all right? But I may not have finished the job with Leslie, but are you going to finish the assignment that's on your life? Are you still going to be drunk with all your excuses? Are you going to be intoxicated with all your disqualifications? Are you going to be under the influence of a culture's opinion, of previous past attempts that you failed, but yet this time there's a favor and anointing on you? I don't think heaven's looking for people with the right resume. He's looking for people who are reliable. Does heaven consider you reliable? Come on, Nations Church. You didn't go through all you went through. You didn't pray, fast, put in all the blood, sweat, and tears so you could start something. Let it not be said that Nations Church just started. Nations Church is not a church full of starters. Come on. It's a church full of finishers, trustworthy ones, faithful ones, dangerous ones. These are what finishers do. It's easy to start something. Anybody can start something. Ecclesiastes says starting is one thing, but finishing is way better. Where are the people who, when it's no longer being celebrated are still going to complete? When it's no longer being acknowledged, are they still going to fulfill? Where are the people who will be faithful to carry what God puts in their hands? And when people start leaving it, when people start doubting it, or when people start realizing that they don't have what it takes and they start removing themselves, yet there's a mantle on you. Let me tell you something. Every one of you is a finisher. I don't care if your parents didn't finish their marriage. You're going to finish your marriage. I don't care if your family has never finished a college degree. You're going to finish a college degree. I don't care your generational curses. I don't care about the past. I care about the finisher rising on the inside of you, weaponizing you so that you can carry all that God wants. And I think there's someone that we could learn from in the scriptures here, the life of King Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 15, let's read in verse 1. Watch this. It says, Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they ambushed them out of Egypt. Let me rabbit trail here for a second. You do realize that this ambush he is talking about happened hundreds of years earlier. This is what I love about the Lord, is that just like he forgets my sin and removes it as far as the east is from the west, he also remembers the day the enemy was stupid enough to ever touch your life, and he will have vengeance. Come on, how many know God is watching over for a breakthrough? He's looking for a moment to bring in a certain amount of taking on ground, a returning, the years the locust ate from your grandparents, the years the locust ate from your previous choices. All of a sudden, God is looking for opportunities to bring the compound finishing blessing of that assignment. He says, go attack them when they ambushed Israel. Verse 3, now go attack the Amalekites, totally destroy all that belongs to them, put to death men, women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys. All right, this is a bad day to be a donkey. You want to be an aardvark or an orangutan, but you don't want to be a donkey. And then watch this, jump down to verse 7. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur. Watch this. From Havilah to Shur. From the city of Havilah to the desert of Shur is 1,100 kilometers. All right? 1,116 Ks to be exact. This wasn't just some short battle. This was a full-on pursuit and chase. He attacks them from the city of Havilah to the desert of Shur near the eastern border of Egypt. And he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. And all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep, cattle, the fat calves and lambs. Everything that was good, these they were unwilling to completely destroy. But everything that was weak and despised, they totally destroyed with their swords. Let's pray for a moment. Holy Spirit, I ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I interrupt any attacks. I interrupt any distortion. I interrupt any dysfunction. And Lord, I speak to the atmosphere right now over every person, over every marriage, over every destiny. I speak to the atmosphere and I say, you are full of faith and you are full of hope and you are full of peace and you are full of joy. I come against every resistance, every barrier, every limit, every lie. I break it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I call you into your destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen. You know, I believe God is raising up finishers. I believe people who have good ideas are necessary. But let me tell you, when that person takes that idea, that godly strategy, that next level holy playbook, and starts to implement it, then hell gets nervous. And I think it's time that the devil breaks out in a cold sweat because of what he's mantling Nations Church to be. You are not starting, you are finishing. You weren't just here to get it off the ground. You were here to reproduce it and grow it in other nations and grow it in other families and grow it inside of you in a deeper place. Go deeper in God, grow more in him, be bigger, be stronger, be wiser. This is what the marking of a finisher is. And if we're going to have a finisher or finishers being released through this house and across the planet, let me give you three things real quick. Number one, we need to remember that finishers understand partial obedience is still disobedience. All right? Partial obedience is still disobedience. The King Saul is told to destroy everything. All right? Everything. All right. He's told to destroy everything, but he keeps one guy alive. One guy. He kills 99. Listen, he's like hand sanitizer. Okay. He kills 99.9% of who he's supposed to kill, But then now we have him keeping one guy alive. Why would he keep this guy alive? Well, this guy, King Agag, was not just, obviously not just a nominal person. This was a king. And what kings did, the culture of that day, was when I captured a king alive, I brought him back to my throne room, chained him to one of my pillars in my palace, and he became a living trophy for me to show off to all visiting kings, ambassadors, and emissaries. So King Saul was not worried about being trustworthy. He was worried about his trophies. And I believe today we are more worried. We can be consumed of the success of starting, but not the faithfulness of finishing. And we have to not be enticed so easily by partial obedience. I understand the grind is heavy. I understand the heavy lifting that it takes, the hard things you have to do, the midnight hour prayers. I understand the tears rolling down your cheeks. I understand motivating and reminding the team, reminding your family to contend, believe God. I understand all that. And sometimes all you want is just a little bit of relief. But the truth is, if we let the enemy dangle the carrot of partial obedience, then we're just going to have partial blessing, partial breakthrough, partial growth, partial strategy. Aren't you glad God is not partial? I mean, read the book. Aren't you glad God's not partial? Anybody in Scripture wasn't partial. We have so many men and women who have left such a superior example of being finishers, complete, total obedience finishers. I mean, aren't you glad that Noah said, hey, God, I don't do floods, all right? I do animals, but I don't do floods. Or aren't you glad David said, hey, I don't do giants? He's not partial. I don't do giants. I do lions and bears. I don't do giants. Aren't you glad Jesus said, hey, I don't do crosses? I'll do prayer meetings, I'll do healings, but I don't do crosses. Aren't you glad Paul said, I don't do letters? Hey, I do open air preaching, but I don't do letters. I'm grateful God's not partial with his love. He's not partial with his authority. He's not partial with his power. He's not partial in any way, neither should his people. Come on, you are a finisher. You didn't come here to be partial. You came here to be fully relied upon by heaven so he can mantle you to take ground. Come on, Nations Church, let me see it in the chat. Let people know I'm a finisher. I didn't come this far to quit. I didn't come this far to give up. I didn't come this far to be enticed. I didn't come this far for relief. I didn't come this far to have what I already have. I want what I've never seen, what I've never done, where I've never been. I want to do what I never saw myself doing because I'm addicted. I'm committed. I'm focused on finishing. Here's the second thing about finishers. Number one, remember, partial obedience is still disobedience. Another thing is you need to have the spirit of a finisher. I can't tell you how many times God's asked me to do things I didn't want to do. I remember being in high school sports and I would play basketball and my coach would make us run all the time. 50% of our practice was running. Come on, anybody ever played? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Down and backs, bear crawls, 8 seconds, all that kind of stuff. And he would do it. And of course, if the whole team didn't make it across the line in time, then we would have to run it again. Man, it felt like attempted murder. I'm just going to be honest with you. It felt like he was trying to kill us because I'm over here. I'm breathing like Quasimodo. Just like that. And then all of a sudden, he would pull us. All right, practice over. Come on in. This is what he would tell us. He would say, hey, come in. Come here. Come here. You want to know why I make you run so hard? You want to know why I make you fight so hard? You want to know why I make you give yourself to this? You want to know why I demand so much? We're sitting there like, yeah. Yeah, we'd like to know because we feel like you're trying to kill us. And he said, watch this. He said, because I want you to finish the game exactly how you started the game. In other words, I believe God doesn't want you to start strong and finish weak, but he wants you to start strong and finish even stronger. Come on the other side of what you're going through, on the other side of what we've seen, on the other side of 2020, can I tell you, we are going to the other side, but on the other side, there is going to be so much more. What you've been praying for, what you've been contending for, that fast he's called you to, that structure he's called you to build, that vision he's called you to steward, all of that requires a spirit of a finisher. And on the other side, it'll be fully released. Come on, anybody else excited about the full heart of God being released in your life? I believe there's so many great moments and passages that you could look at in Scripture. And anytime I found difficulty completing the assignment on my life, I always ran to this Scripture, Hebrews 11. It talks about how this chapter, Hebrews 11, it talks about these men and women who face these impossible odds. Literally, there's no way except with the hand of God on their life, they would have done this. But it makes this statement. It talks about through faith, they conquered kingdoms. They administered justice. They gained what was promised. Come on, anybody else got some outstanding promises? I believe it's time to gain, right? They talk about they were even tortured, sawed in two. They were killed by the sword, left destitute and mistreated. And then it says in verse 38, the world was not worthy of them. It blows my mind when I think about this. What manner of man or woman do you have to be for Holy Scripture to say this world was not worthy of you? They wasn't talking about its skill. They weren't talking about their talents, their capacity levels. They weren't talking about their resumes. You know what they're talking about? Their faithfulness. Their trust in God. No matter what, no matter if an army came after them, they were thrown in a lion's den. It didn't matter if they were in the middle of a storm. Did not matter. They leaned in fully because they were finishers. Come on, here's the last thing. If we're going to be finishers, number three. Remember, let's go through it. Number one, partial obedience is still disobedience. Number two, we need the spirit of a finisher like in Hebrews 11. And number three, we must live like Jesus lived. I want to show you this. 1 John chapter 2. It says, he who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. In other words, if you say you're a Christian, your life should look like Jesus. Jesus is our measuring stick, right? Then he goes on to say this in 1 John 2 chapters later, 4 verse 17. He says, as he is, so are we in this world. Watch me. As Jesus is right now, so are you and I in this world. So here's my question. Is Jesus powerful right now? Then so are you and I. Is Jesus victorious right now? Come on, let me hear you. Then so are you and I. Is Jesus a finisher right now? Then so are you and I. You know, I think one of the things that's misconstrued or maybe just doesn't have the right perspective of it is Jesus is the greatest finisher we've ever seen. And too many times we've taken a scripture that we thought maybe he was trying to lean into quitting or giving up. In Luke 22, verse 42, he's in the moment where he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. His blood is mixing with sweat. They say that medical condition is the same as dying. He feels like he is about to die. And then in that moment, he makes this statement, Lord, or said, Father, let this cup pass, but not my will be done, your will be done. Now, when he says, let this cup pass, too many people have thought, you know, what he's saying is, get this cup away from me. This is too much. I don't want it. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. You have to understand, Jesus is in the middle of a Passover season. And in a Passover meal, you drink from four cups. The third time a cup is referenced out of those four cups is right here when he says, let this cup pass. The third cup represents suffering. So let me tell you in modern day vernacular what Jesus is saying. He's not saying, get this cup away from me. He's saying, this is the cup of suffering and it's not full yet because I haven't been betrayed by Judas yet. I haven't been falsely accused yet. I haven't had a mistrial in the Sanhedrin. I haven't had a mistrial in the Roman court. I haven't had a murderer released on instead of me, an innocent man. I haven't been flogged with the cat of nine tails 39 times. I haven't been beaten. I've been made fun of. My beard hasn't been pulled out. I haven't been told to carry my own cross up a mountain called Golgotha. I haven't been crucified yet I feel like I'm going to die. And if I die in this garden, it's an unfinished assignment. Jesus was saying, this cup's not full yet. Can I tell you something? Jesus is the greatest finisher we have ever seen. He wasn't just worried about, do I have enough to make it? He was like, Lord, I want to steward over. Father, I want to steward everything right. I've got to fulfill so many prophecies. I got to fulfill your heart. I got to fulfill the plans of heaven in order to make a way for a new covenant. Come on, Jesus never quit. Jesus never gave up. Not my Jesus, not the one I read about in scriptures, not the one that changed my life. Come on, that's why he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is faithful to complete the things that he starts. And that's why on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. I believe there's finishers watching me right now. If anything, all I'm doing is confirming. And perhaps for some, I'm waking you up. I believe the sleeping giants are coming out of their slumber right now, and finishers are rising as you're watching this right now, as we're looking, as we're connecting. The Spirit of God is all over you. I want to pray for you. Put your hand on your heart. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I say, let the finishers rise.
Let the finishers come to the surface. Let the finishers take ground. Lord, put that extra win. Put that extra strength. Lord, put that extra motivation. Put that extra focus, God. Let that commitment level rise that we would finish every assignment you put on our life. We will not be found full of partiality, but total and complete obedience. The spirit of the finisher, the spirit of Jesus living on the inside of us, that we would live like you lived, completely devoted to your plans. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I want to take a quick moment and let people know, you're probably watching this and you're like, man, I want to finish. I want to finish. I never get to finish. I always struggle with finishing. But the truth is, you can't finish unless you start in the right place. And what I'm telling you is you can't finish all God has for you if you've not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And I believe the greatest starting point is when you surrender everything to Him, all of your pain, all of your sin, all of your disappointments, all of your future, all of your skill level, all of your plans. And I believe there's some of you watching, the Spirit of God is moving on your life. It's time to get your heart in alignment with God's. It's time for you to become a follower of Jesus. If that's you, I just want you to repeat after me and say, Jesus, I give you my life. I ask you, forgive me for my sins. I believe you rose again when you died for my sins. I believe you're alive today, and I thank you that you're making me a finisher. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Thank you for allowing me this moment. I just pray this word just takes it further, deeper in the scriptures, deeper into your personal life, that it becomes activation material for what God is mantling you with. I'll see you guys later.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.